They get all excited. I like being with Mrs. Mix too, so I understand completely. Hebrews chapter number 12. This coming year, our theme is running the race in 2024. We are putting together some things that'll come out in the next few weeks, so I pray it'll be a blessing to you. But in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, our theme verse for the year is, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I always like reading all the way from period to period. That way you know what the man's talking about. Father, tonight help us to set our lives aright on the racetrack for you. God, get us upright and straight and help us, Father, to run true. God, that our lives would be useful in your service. And Father, we know nothing that we do for you is ever forgotten. But tonight, Father, we ask for greater things to be done through us than ever before in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore," speaking about what came before, because of what he wrote in chapters 11, "seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, I don't know how you interpret that, but from my study of the scriptures, it's my personal opinion that heaven looks down upon us. Nobody in heaven looks down upon us with contempt. They look down upon us like grandstands of the Olympics. And it's interesting. They watch us. The idea that we are heaven's reality TV entertainment. The fact, and you say, no, I say, well, it's real life and they're watching. Imagine, you know, reality TV is not really reality. I don't know if you've ever caught up with that or not. It's kind of scripted and some of that happens, but yeah, and some of it's just overdone, but you're heaven's period drama. I mean, my wife likes Downton Abbey and Upstairs, Downstairs, you know, the PBS channel, public broadcasting, has got some stuff from the BBC, and it's like what went on in the 1500s? What was going on with the royal family in the 1700s? And everybody loves Downton Abbey, so it's the period drama everybody was watching a couple of years ago. You are heaven's period drama. They are watching you. Isn't that an interesting thought? That shouldn't scare you. I mean, well, then again, knowing that heaven's watching, knowing that Jesus is watching, that I suppose that should have some impact upon you. But in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish people to tell them that everything about Christianity is better than Judaism. We have a better sacrifice. We have a better hope. We have a better Messiah. We have a better everything. And in chapter 12, we're dealing with a better hope. Hope is what I want you to focus on in 2024, because we have the example of Jesus Christ as our pattern to follow, if you would. Now, in verse 1, we are told about this cloud of witnesses. We're talking specifically about those that were living in chapter 11, those that lived their lives by faith. They are watching. And we are learning from their lives because it's documented in chapter number 11. I have taught through and preached through the champions of God in Hebrews 11. And that series is up on the web. And it's looking at chapter 11, those who formerly ran the race. And it was written to current Christians, Jewish Christians of today, of the day in which it was written, to encourage them, because they were living a Christian life that, quite honestly, they did not understand. Their Jewish history was, you know what, as a Jew, yes, we get all the promises, but you Gentiles are just out of luck. And I want you to know that that's not true. We have great encouragement from the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 12. You not only have those in chapter 11 who are watching, you have your loved ones who knew the Lord as their Savior are watching. You say, where do you get that from, preacher? Because when they crack the first seal in the book of the Revelation, all heaven is silent, aghast at what they see upon the planet Earth. So if they can see it then, they can see it now. But in Romans 15:4, it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You know, if these guys who were not perfect in chapter 11, if these people who were flawed, who made mistakes, who fell down, but got back up again, if they can do it, basically, so can we. And you realize not only are you and I surrounded by the heavenly witnesses, the wolves that are watching, we are also surrounded by what I would consider earthly witnesses. We live a very public life here on this planet. You have your spouses, your kids, your grandkids. They're all watching. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:22 that a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. What is he saying? You can leave a legacy of faith and faithfulness by your very life. If you follow Christ, if you'll be faithful, the children and the grandchildren and all those around us will be affected, because just like those in heaven watch us, those around us watch us too. What heritage are we leaving for the next generation? What example? What pattern for them to walk in? I've told you before, our children never become what we tell them. They become what we are. You know, besides your family, your brothers and sisters in Christ are watching. And I know people, somebody's going to write me on the internet and go, well, we're not supposed to care what other people think. Yeah, but you're not an island. Your actions affect other people. Whether you're faithful or not, let's just start there. Let's just touch the surface on that one a minute. If you're not faithful, it affects everyone around you, because A, other people have to pick up the load. Number two, it discourages people because they're like, where's so-and-so? Now, I feel the need to say, you guys need to go on vacation. Okay, that's all I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I already know when Super Bowl Sunday is. Do you know when Super Bowl Sunday is? It's in February. I already know when it is. And so will you be here? That's the question. Why? Because those who watch are going to ask themselves, are you going to be here? Where are we going today, Dad? See, we walk among those today who are watching. Now, we do walk among people who don't care, just don't care. They have no concern, either A, are oblivious, or really don't care one way or the other. But Jesus said to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They're to see it through you, your coworkers, your neighbors. And the Bible says in Philippians 2, we're to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We are to live in such a way, people, it's not that you're supposed to be perfect, but we're to deport our business in such a way that people aren't pointing fingers and going, see, Christians are cheaters, and Christians are liars, and Christians are lazy, and Christians are, you know, we are setting an example, good or bad, for everyone who watches. Now, the folks in heaven, they're not affected other than they're grieved or they're happy. But those around us, we can actually have an impact on based on how we behave. So we need to dedicate 2024 to being deliberate and disciplined in our efforts. Look at Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. This is talking about preparation. You know, we're going to look at things and say, does this help us in our calling, or does this hold us back? Is this becoming to our intentions, or do they hinder us from moving forward? Let me ask you, what spiritual progress did you plan for and achieve in 2023? I mean, we all get surprised by God from time to time. Anybody else? Anybody else get surprised? God shows up, God stirs you, and you're like, wow, good one, Lord. You know, and we want those things, right? We want those things, right? But there's also things where we ought to challenge ourselves. What spiritual progress are you going to plan to achieve in 2024? Are you going to take a specific class? Are you going to do a word study? Are you going to try to read through the Bible? Are you going to try to memorize the golden chapters of the Bible? Are you going to try to memorize the Romans Road? It says laying aside the things that hinder our effectiveness. Now look, these aren't sins. Look at it now. It says lay aside every weight and the sin. See, weights and sins are two different things. For the sake of time, I won't show you, but I mean, imagine, well, You know, let me show you. Phil, I'm going to have to move off camera for a second. Start handing me songbooks, honey. Start handing me songbooks. Here we go. You know, you think about, these are not necessarily sinful things, right? I mean, these are not necessarily sinful things, but you realize that when you fill up your life with other things that, and you know, you're trying to sneak the Bible in there, it gets really complicated to manage it. If you had to carry this around with you all day, you think to yourself, well, that's just crazy. Who would carry a stack of books around with you? But you do carry a stack of something around with you. Right? I mean, you carry a stack of something with you. Are they helping you toward your goals in the ministry? They're not necessarily sinful things. It says, lay aside the weights. Weights are not sin. Weights are just good things that take up space. Bandwidth. That's what Brother Chris Smith likes to use, isn't it? He uses the word bandwidth. Anybody else use the word bandwidth? You know, they take up bandwidth. And they're good things. Now, I'm not saying you should get rid of all the things in your life, because I know you're trying to improve yourself academically. Many of you in here are trying to improve yourself professionally, and those are good things, because I believe Christians are the best witness possible when they're doing it cleaner, better, and faster and under budget than everybody else. I think you should be excellent at your job, because with excellence, it gives you a platform to tell everybody about how Jesus is the one promoting you. That's good stuff. But we all have a load of things. You know, it's my third year in a row now. I was going to take off from Christmas to New Year's. I just have a stack of things out in the garage I was going to work on, just kind of do, you know, and I just kind of have to carry them along with me now because I didn't get around to them. But you know what? The things I did get around to mattered in eternity. You know, really, it doesn't really matter if I ever fix some of the projects I got in the garage. As long as I got to the God stuff first, I will get to the other stuff later. You understand, weights are not necessarily sins. They're just things that fill up our bandwidth for the Lord. In 2024, you need to take a moment and assess what your current bandwidth is. What is taking up your time? What is it that you've been stressing over? There's an old proverb, I can't find where I heard it from, so I'm going to claim it as mine and just make myself the originator, because I Googled it. If it ain't on Google, well then, I can copyright it. A man that has stuff hath woe, for he must spend his life managing his stuff. See, the things in your life are not necessarily bad. But sometimes we get overeager and we pack our bandwidth full of stuff, and there's just no room to be effective at the stuff that matters most in life. I had at Brother Antonio and Miss Celeste's wedding, I got to talk to a couple of pastors, and they asked me, you know, how are you managing balance and things of that nature? And I had to admit to them, I have been very out of balance in my life. Where I foolishly believe that just read another book, take another class, get another certification, and then I can take a step back and I'll have more time for the Lord and my family. And that's a lie. That's a lie. As a pastor, one more phone call, one more Bible study, one more visit, and then the church will be at such a spot that I can take a step back and my family, I can have more family time. That's a lie. That's a lie. See, these are good things, Bible studies and visitation and all this stuff is good stuff. But it took up bandwidth when my kids were little, and now my kids aren't little no more. If you got little kids or grandkids, you better reserve some of that bandwidth for them, because one of these days they're not going to be around for you to even if you had time for them to do anything, because they have their own lives. See, there's a difference between weights and sins. I don't have to beat on you about sins. You know what your sins are. You and God have already been discussing it for months now, and he's wanting you to deal with it. I don't have to get on to you about that. But I'm here to tell you that in 2023, there were a lot of good stuff that went on, but at the detriment of something else. Now, my question to you is, in 2024, what's going to change? If you're not careful, if you're not deliberate, good things. See, the devil doesn't have to make you a drug addict to make you ineffective. The devil just needs to pack your life with good stuff. Just don't do the best things. Just don't do the things that affect eternity. See, so in 2024, as you run the race, you do need to assess, right? What is it I want to get done every day in a perfect world? What do I want to get done in a week in a perfect world? What do I want to get done in a month? You need to do those things. I do those things regularly. I hope you do. Only dead fish float, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to learn to swim and use your time effectively, right? And your schedule is not your God, but it needs to be your guide. You do need to have a plan, or everybody else will control your life. Can I get an amen? Okay, I mean, only a few of us understand that. Okay. So what are you going to plan to do? What are you going to deliberately discipline your life to put in your life first, and then second, and then third? You know, in Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the things he had was in the first things first chapter, which is 30 years old, was a quadrant of that which is increasing in importance and increasing in urgency. And one of those quadrants is not urgent and not important, you know, but that's typically where our entertainment is. And so we want to hang out there while the immediate takes precedent over the important. If you and I are not deliberate and disciplined in 2024, it'll look very much like 2023, only a little bit less effective, because we'll be more tired. See, we have to purposely discipline ourselves, lay aside the weights, the good things in your life that are out of priority. There's nothing wrong with good things. One of these days, I'm going to get to my projects. One of these days, I'm going to get to doing some of the things I want to do that I find fun. You may not find them fun, but I find hammering on things fun. I've been meaning to go out there and just hammer on. I got a new hammer for Christmas, and I'm just like ready to go drive some nails. Everything. Anyway, I've been just excited. But the truth is, which ones comes first? That not everything in life is a sin, but it can be a weight if it's out of priority. And so you have to decide. Now it says here in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. That one that keeps coming back, you know which one I'm talking about. That area where of sin in your life that's just easy, it keeps coming back. It keeps sneaking its ugly head back in, whether it's anger or bitterness or unforgiveness or any other kind of sin. It's got a well-worn path. Mrs. Mixon, I bless her heart. We'll get in the car and we'll get to driving and she'll say, listen, we're going to get in the car and we're going to go to the grocery store. But invariably, if I'm not paying attention, the car brings us right by the church. She goes, why are we going to the church? And I'll go, oh, that's right. The car knew the way. The car was used to going this way. No, that's how life takes us. We get into this muscle memory, this life memory, like muscle memory, and we just get used to doing things the same way all the time. And we become less and less effective unless we are disciplined and deliberate about it. But it does require patience. Look what it says here. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now we do, I don't know about you, but I have a nasty tendency to get ahead of God sometimes. I get excited. I'm driven by nature. Do you realize that every dead body up on Mount Everest was once a very highly motivated person? You realize that, right? And they are. There's dozens of them face down in the ice. They're all millionaires, too, because poor folks like you and I don't got the money to go over there and climb Mount Everest. But I told the Lord, this is a side note, I told the Lord, if you ever gave me millions of dollars, I promised I wouldn't climb Everest. I promised. I said, Lord, I won't. I promise. But every one of those people who are dead on Mount Everest were motivated people. And I'm prone to being driven. Unrestrained. Sometimes self-driven quest for more and better fights against God's pace for us and God's boundaries. And you know, we are finite beings. There is only so much bandwidth, as Brother Chris would say. This new year has been a great time to kind of assess and set new goals and find fresh motivation. But don't Number one, don't get bored with it. Actually grow with it. And don't be enamored by the fact that other people seem to pass you. The mountain they're climbing is just one of Satan's mirages. Remember that. Those that you think, well, I just, a little more, if I just do a bit of this, and I, you know, maybe so. But at what cost? It's not that everything in life that's good is sinful. It's the fact that sometimes the good things can get out of priority. So, yeah, we need to move at God's speed. Life's not about running, being the first runner through to the finish line. Life's about every one of us getting there. So press on as fast as your family can go. Move forward at the pace and recognize that sometimes slow is best. Is best. See, the devil beat you up because he wants you to compare yourself to somebody else. And the Bible says when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we become unwise. And so what he likes to do is, one of his tricks is you're driven, you want to do things, and you see somebody who you assume is passing you in professionalism or whatever, and you think you're, and the devil whispers in your ear, look, what a slacker you are, what a sloth you are. You know, if you would just spend your Sunday afternoons doing this or that, or if you would spend your Wednesday, no, that's a lie. Yes, you need to do things well. You need to set a good pace in your life. You need to deliberately plan and be disciplined. Yes, yes, yes. In your professional life, your family life, yes, but also your spiritual life. You need to be deliberate and disciplined. You know, even Jacob, after he wrestled with God and lost, said to Esau, I will have to lead on softly. He didn't say, as fast as I can hobble. He said, the children are tender. And the herds are with young. He said, if we should overdrive them, the flock will die. This is Genesis 33. And he said, I will lead on softly as the cattle that go before me and the children be able to endure. So patience, not necessarily speed, but patience is essential to being steadfast. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you ever heard the phrase, he bit off more than he could chew? Have you ever heard that phrase? Or your eyes are bigger than your stomach, right? There's a restaurant in Annandale where it's a 90-minute window, and if you leave too much food, they weigh it and they charge you for it. Did you ever see that Korean restaurant? It's called the Iron Skillet or the Iron Grill or something like that. Anyway, it's good, but you best eat fast. And you think to yourself, you know, what has that got to do with anything? Sometimes you can bite off more than you can chew, even spiritually. You know, one year, and you think, well, this is just crazy, but one year I challenged myself to read the New Testament every month. You know, I only got through about a little over half the year getting that done. You know, you think to yourself, well, what do you do all day, Pastor? You only work one day a week. The truth is, you can bite off more than you can chew spiritually, too. And you need to see the warning signs. If you're not sitting in a preaching service at once or twice a week, you're going to get spiritually depleted. If you're not reading your Bible every single day, you can become depleted spiritually while doing great things and attempting great things for God. You can become depleted. You can burn out. And you say, that's crazy. Oh, I'd love to just serve the Lord all day long. You know what? We get to do that and we still get burned out if we're not careful. You know, being steadfast means firm and standing, fixed in place, firmness of mind and of purpose. And because our purpose is fixed, our pace can vary as long as our purpose stays fixed. The problem is we want to get there at our pace when we want to get it done, because somehow it makes us feel more spiritually, you know, bigger, like we're doing things. And if I can do this, then I can do that, and I can do this, and I can just, wow, God will think really well of me. No, that's not what God asks you to do. You fix your purpose on the horizon and you follow Jesus at the pace God sets for you, and remember that slow sometimes is the best way. Think about it. The world we live in, these teenagers that we know, that we love so much and we meet out in the community, they don't know what it means to be steadfast. They don't know what it means to have firmness of mind and purpose. So run the race with plenty of reserves, making sure your tank's full. You can't help somebody else. Remember, like on the airplane, when the masks come down, they say, put your mask on first. You can't help somebody if you're unconscious. You cannot help somebody spiritually if you are depleted. So check your bandwidth in 2023 and say, how did I do? What are we going to do different in 24? What was profitable spiritually in 23? What wasn't? And start to reassess. Because we need endurance. Look, he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's better to live to walk forward another day than to overreach and die trying to compete and compare ourselves to others for their approval. So ask yourself, what did I do that glorified God in 2023? And how will my life in 24 glorify God? Was his name magnified in 23 in my life, or was it? And what am I going to do in 24 that he would be magnified? Will my 24 goals make me a better Christian? Will my 24 goals lead other people to be a Christian because of the way I live? So number one, you've got to wait on the Lord. That's what Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says. Wait upon the Lord and renew your strength. Be gospel focused, Galatians 2:2 teaches us. Everything we do needs to be with the gospel focus. That's it. If you will remain focused and fixed on, I'm supposed to reach other people. That's why that's everything we do is supposed to make that purpose a reality. We're to keep the faith, hold fast to the truth. Brothers and sisters, we all love the Bible and we all shout amen until somebody close to us decides to go against it. And then we start to ask ourselves, do I really need to stand on that doctrine? Do I really need to stand firm? And the answer is yes. Right is still right. Watch your activities. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Watch your associations. You are who you hang with. Who did you hang out with in 23? Did they draw you closer to the Lord or did they pull you away? Watch your actions. Watch your stewardship. For the sake of time, I'm just kind of skipping some verses. 1 Corinthians 4, that we're to be faithful stewards. Because the goal is to keep our eyes on Jesus. How many of you remember the Clydesdales? Every Christmas they had those big, beautiful red horses pulling a wagon from an alcohol company I won't mention. And they had those little patches of leather on either side of their eyes. They're called blinders. The reason they do that is to keep them big horses from getting distracted and spooked and running. What kept your eyes on Jesus in 23? What took your eyes off Jesus in 23? Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How can I focus my attention more upon Jesus this year? How can I keep my eyes on him? What got my eyes off of him? Because he faced it. He faced this life. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He had the victory in his resurrection. He's now sitting in and occupying the seat next to our Father in heaven. He now guarantees us safe passage. But we have to keep our eyes on him. Look at verse 3. Because he set the example. For consider him. Consider him. Think about him. Stop and muse upon him and his life. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Why does he say that? Because he's King of kings and Lord of lords and he's holy, and how dare they? Lest we be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, there's an old phrase, I say it often, I'll say it again. To live above with the saints we love, oh, won't that be glory? But to live below with the saints we know, now that's another story. isn't it? Some of us, people charge us up. Others of us, people are a drain. But the question I have for you is, how did Jesus deal with the people he dealt with? He was compassionate. He never got his eyes off the purpose of why he came. He didn't let the things of this world distract him. And in comparison to him, I know that we fail. But we're very prone to get weary, even in well-doing. Isn't that what Galatians 6, 9 says? It says, be not weary in well-doing. What do you mean? You can get weary doing good stuff? Yes. Be not weary, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Jesus kept the purpose of his life to be his Father's will. And he set that example in front of us. Step by step by step, as he made his way from Bethlehem's manger to Calvary's cross to heaven's glory. He always kept the Father's will as his purpose. And one day, even though God uses your career to pay your bills, you won't be doing that career one day. But you'll still be a child of God. It says that Jesus suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Jesus kept his eyes on something past the cross, past this mortal life. You know, when you invest in things like your marriage and your children and your church and in your community with evangelism, these are kingdom works that you're doing. You are advancing God's kingdom. And so when you realize what you're doing with your eyes on the purpose in front of us in 2024, let's try to be deliberate about the things that got us off track and stay away from them. And let's put some things in our life that's going to advance us toward our goal. How will you live in 2024 knowing that Jesus is watching? How will you live in 2024 knowing that Grandma and Grandpa are watching? How will you allow the slow times in 2024 to not knock you off the path? Remember, it's not about how fast we move. It's not about how far we grow. It's the fact that we're still moving in that direction. What sins will you maintain in 2024 that need to be set aside? What good things that steal your bandwidth from your family and your time with God do you need to put in a lower priority in 2024? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The Bible says, wherefore seeing we are so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where our eyes need to be. That's where our goal needs to be. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And tonight, God, we need you to speak to our hearts. Help us, God, as we reassess 2023 and make plans for 2024. And Father, we ask that you would give us the discipline, give us the grace and the power to say no to our flesh and to this world, and to stay focused on our purpose for your glory. And tonight, Father, we ask that you would speak to each heart and each soul. If there's one among us that's lost, may they be saved. But Father, tonight, I know that each of us as Christians have areas of our life, good things, things that aren't sinful, Father, that get our eyes off Jesus. Help us this year. For I know that you don't desire us to be in a life of drudgery, but Father, you give us a life of joy. If we'll just put you first, help us, God, to do that tonight. Speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, won't you ask the Lord to help you assess not just your time management skills, but assess your emotions. And assess your mental power and how you've spent it. It's not just your spiritual growth tonight, but all of your life in God's hands according to God's plan. There's still time for you. There's still time for you. Pray and ask the Lord for His assistance. There's time for you. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And Father, you truly are the master of all time. Help us, God, as we lay out our life before you for your guidance and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't normally do this, but some